Amen. Well, this sermon, this brief message I'm going to share with you for the next few minutes is not completely my own. I want to share that right up front. It was a series that it's from a book that was written by a guy named Steve Furtick from a church down south, and I stole a bunch of stuff from him, and we're sharing it with you tonight. And I want you to hear that right up front, just because a lot of the stuff is going to be mine, but I want you to know right up front where it all comes from. But it's a series, it's a multiple-part series that I want you guys to keep coming out for. So if tonight is relevant to where you are and it speaks to your heart, I want you to know that each week we're going to be talking about what it means to just like it says up here, to dream bigger and start smaller, but most of all, ignite God's vision for your life. There's a truth, and we look at our lives and sometimes we think, how could anything good come from this? Or I'm so messed up, or somebody messed me up so bad, I don't know if anything good could happen. Or we limit ourselves and we cap what we could do. And God's plan and God's vision for you is not determined by how bad you've messed up or how bad somebody else has messed up in your life. It's determined by His great power. And the Word of God says that He has a plan and a purpose for your life that is not dictated by what you have done wrong, but is dictated by His goodness and His mercy. So tonight, I'm going to set all those preconceived ideas about your badness aside and tell you that you can dream bigger if you start smaller. And tonight I want to take all of us along for a ride. I'm going to give you three invitations tonight, and I'm hoping that we all respond to those invites throughout this message. But this text, this portion of Scripture that I just read, it seems kind of crazy to think about. But I want you to notice one thing real quick. If you can put that back up, Matt, put the 1 Kings 19 verse back up. I want you to see something, that this guy, Elisha, what he was doing on this day is he's just hanging out with his oxen. He's just doing his normal job. He's just whipping the ox and they're going forward. And think about this for a minute. In this world at this time, he had one view, and that is up the tail end of the oxen in front of him, right? That was his job all day. He's sending these oxen to plow the fields so that they can do the work. And the whole time it stinks. It's horrible. He's thinking, what is going on here? But if you study this, if you look into this, it's a lot of scholars believe that he was wealthy because he was working for someone who was wealthy. And to have this position was a position of, you wouldn't think it's honor, but it was a good, steady-paying job. And in this day, that was a good thing to have. So he had this position of consistency and work. And along comes Elijah, who, not because of anything this Elisha guy has done, says to him, hey, I've got something greater for you. I've got something for you that is a different purpose for you, or a greater purpose for your life. And I want you to see that right up front and understand that truth, that there is, I believe, a higher calling for each one of us. So the first invite that I want to make to you of the three is an invite to a higher calling. An invite to a higher calling, a deeper awareness of a calling on your life that could be greater than what you now know. Some of you might be thinking you're going off next year into college, you're going to do this and that, and that's great. And I'm not saying that God is like, my hope is that He's going to redirect you into like the mission field of India where you're going to feed homeless kids. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is whatever you're going to do, God can create in you a level of understanding and clarity about what you're doing, that it could be greater than what you even understand it to be. And what happens here in this text is this guy is walking behind a bunch of poo-dropping, dirt-throwing oxen, and a man comes up to him unexpectedly and throws a mantle over him, which is, in our day and age, almost like calling on him for a high admonished job, where he's saying, come on, you're going to be a prophet now. You're going to follow in my steps, a position of honor. And he goes with him, all right? So he didn't do anything to earn it, and he's saying he's doing the best he can at his job, and along his way, he gets called into something greater. I believe for you that you could be called into something greater even tonight. That's my first invitation to you. Many of you guys you're headed into a new year of school, right? Who started school today? Anybody not start school today that's here? I know that Liverpool starts tomorrow. All the adults in the room are like, yeah, I didn't start school. Just no. But Liverpool starts tomorrow. There's a couple other schools that are not yet starting, but all of us in the room from Beeville started today. And I think sometimes we get into this mode of when school starts, we start thinking, what's this year going to look like? Am I going to be able to pass my AP courses? Am I going to be able to pass that class that I'm taking over again from last year? And our idea of greatness is simply doing what we want to do better. Just doing it a little bit better and passing the grade. And I want to tell you that that's not God's idea of greatness for your life. God's idea of greatness for your life is you doing those things and starting from a place where you're saying, this could be above all anything I've ever imagined. There's even verses in the Bible that talk about that, but I want to read another one to you guys where you can hear this straight from who Christ is. He says something pretty amazing, and it kind of scares me about being a pastor of a church, and I get worried because when I read Bible verses like this, it kind of freaks me out a little because I start to ask questions to God and say, how does this happen? How is this going to happen? How does it work? It's this verse, and it's in John chapter 14, if you're reading along, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than this will he do, because I am going to the Father." Now, there's been all kinds of people that have said that means all kinds of different things. But the thing you can't argue with is the reality that Jesus says that those who believe in him would do greater things than he did. Now, there's one thing Jesus did that we can't outdo. He laid his life down so that we could have his benefit. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes more, but there's elements of our church today, of the church of today, and I mean church like big capital C, not like church Word of Life, but the whole church, like people who say they believe in Jesus, that I'm honestly broken over because I don't think we're doing things greater than what Jesus did. And that verse makes me think, where are we missing it? Where are we getting it wrong? Is it simply that we don't believe deep enough? I want to invite you tonight to an idea that says, my life matters now. My life matters now, because I think the trap that we fall into is we begin to think in our teenage years, I think this is when it happens, we get caught in this idea that when I get there, I'll start thinking about that. You know what I mean? We start thinking, in the next stage of life, I'll start thinking about that. When I get to college, then I'll think those deep thoughts. And we classify like God as deep thoughts, which I think is kind of weird because he's the king of like simple things. And that just confuses us. But I want you to turn to three people and say, my life matters now. Say that with me. My life matters now. Go ahead. Good. Okay, now turn to two people and say it. Just tell it to somebody you don't know. Tell them, my life matters now. Your life matters now. It matters now. It matters because of God's purpose for your life. We can get caught and trapped into tripping into things that don't matter because we think, this doesn't matter. None of this time matters. But the truth is that God has something greater for you this year. Not just this year, but this week. Not just this week, but tonight. And I've made a couple of invitations to you, but one of the things that Elisha is doing is his job. He's doing a simple job, right? He's doing a simple job like a 9th grader, like a 10th grader, like an 11th grader, like a 12th grader would do, going into school every day, doing that simple task, that simple consistent work of homeschool, second period, third period, fourth period, whatever it is, doing that job. And as he's doing that, or as this person is doing it, along comes Elijah, who puts on him a greater calling. Now imagine being that person. Now, here's something you need to know. Is Elijah in this story, if I back it up a little bit, he is running for his life. He has done some amazing things. He's been part of amazing victories of armies. And he has been warned by this woman who said she's going to kill him. And he's running for his life. And while he's running for his life, God speaks to him and says, you need to go talk to Elisha and put your mantle on him and bring him and teach him the ways of the Word of God. And he goes with him. He begins learning those things. But what's happening here is amazing because it's not by the greatness of Elijah or the greatness of Elisha that greatness happens. It's by the greatness of the God that calls them. We can get caught as we read anything to think that if we just do something like they did, we can be great. So what we need to do, or what I see here that's my thought about what we need to do, is not be just like Elisha, but to look at what he did, look at the principles of his life, and say, what did he do there in response to God's call on his life that took him to the next level? What did he do? And if I apply those things, is that principle going to be true in my life? And here's what the second invitation I want to give you tonight is an invitation to deeper surrender. All right, because here's what Elisha does. He takes the cows, or the ox, and he takes them and he boils them, it says in there, and he slices them up and feeds them to the family. Now, before you get angry, if you're a member of PETA and you're not happy with animals being killed, this is a very normal thing in this culture. It wasn't like something crazy that they did just because like he got called on by a prophet. They would feed each other by killing animals, and that's what they ate, right? So he kills the animal. That's a pretty normal thing to be done in that day. The abnormal thing that gets done here is that he burns these yokes. He actually burns the tools that they used in the livelihood. Now, he could have taken those and sold them. Could have taken them and given them away. But what he does, instead of giving them away, he burns them. And I think there's symbolism in that. There's significance in that that we can learn from. And we can say, God, what is it? I know that there's something in my life that I'm called to something greater. But what's keeping me from that? And in this text, we see him going back to his parents and saying, I got to go. I need to leave. There's a greater call in my life. I'm going. And before I do, though, I'm going to destroy anything that could possibly pull me back to this place I once was. Because where I'm going is so completely different that I need to make sure that once I get there, I don't fall back on a plan B. So tonight, as we hear this story, I want you to ask yourself, what are the things that I depend on that are a plan B version of my life, that are a counterfeit fail version, that have almost failed me before, but I still rely on them right now. I still lean into them. When things get tough, that's where I go. And I know that I'm going to wake up feeling horrible tomorrow, or I know that it's not the truest version of my life, but I just keep going back to it. Because that's what I think Elisha is burning here. Elisha is saying, I don't want to come back to this. I'm going to something different, something greater. And he says, I'm going to burn these yokes, and I'm going to kill these cows, these ox, and I'm done with this life. I'm moving on. When I was a 16-year-old, which is like 20 years ago now, I'm going to be 36 next month, which is astounding to me. I just saw somebody go, whoa. That's scary to me. I'm 36. I remember hearing somebody say they're 36, and I remember thinking, when I'm that old, I wonder what life's going to be like. Well, it's just bigger. I was 16 years old. I went to a retreat. It was kind of like this, but like a ton of people in a big stadium, okay? But similar routine where they had songs and they had a preacher up front. And I felt in that message, I heard and I felt like there was a call on my life to do something different than what I thought I was going to do before that. And when I did that, I had to go home and I had to clarify to my girlfriend that we weren't going to be in the same relationship we were before. And I had to begin making changes in my life that were related to the way I felt God was calling me to live that drastically altered my life. Now, I'm not telling you like you need to leave here and just like start drastically altering your life and then that'll be good and that your life will be greater. By no means. But what I am saying is that there's significant things that we lean into, that we depend on, that sometimes we need to burn. And we need to say, I'm done with that because I'm going on to something greater. Because my life matters now. My life matters now. Not next year when I'm at college. It matters now. Now, here's the thing. I've invited you first and primarily, I have to look back, to a higher calling. I've invited you secondly to a deeper surrender. And I know some of you, you already know what that thing is that you would burn. Like Elisha burnt that yoke. Like I didn't burn a relationship. That sounds horrible. But I burned some things that I was doing because I knew that my life was on the line. And my life mattered then, and I wanted to make a significant change. And now I'm saying to you, I could say to you very easily, you need to do more, you need to be better, you need to live a greater version of your life. But ultimately you'd be frustrated. Because you'd try maybe for a week, or maybe for some of you, you're planning to come back the first Wednesday of next month, and you'd come back and you'd go, look, I tried all month long. I tried to be greater. I tried to like separate myself from all the things that were holding me back and all those things I was depending on, and I just kept going right back to them. I made it like 15 days, and here I'm doing it again. I'm smoking this or whatever it is. Whatever it is, and I could go on a list of things that I was doing that I had to cancel out of my life. But whatever it is, you would say, and I would say, if we tried in our own strength, we would fall to it again. But here's the amazing thing. The third invitation I want to give you is an invitation to greater things. Because an invitation to greater living is not an invitation to you being a greater person or you doing it yourself. Earlier, I talked about Jesus and how he died for us, and we got the benefit of his life. But when I read the story about how the yoke was burned that hangs over the oxen, I think about Jesus. And if you don't know the story of how Jesus died on the cross, he was beaten, he was brutalized, he was taken to the cross, he lived a sinless life perfectly. Historically, we know that he lived a life that was spotless, even though they tried to bring accusation against him, they could not convict him unless they rigged the jury. And they did. And he went to the cross, and he was nailed to it, and he died. And here's the crazy thing about Christianity that's totally different than any other religion in the world, at least that I've found. It's this. It's that every other religion will say to you, you've got to deeply surrender, you've got to work harder, you've got to be better, and if you do, maybe at the end of the day, you'll be closer to God, and you'll live a greater life. But Christianity is the only religion that says this. This is the very important thing. If you don't get anything tonight, get this. It says that Jesus didn't force on you a yoke that you have to carry to get closer to him, but he said, I'll take the yoke. I'll take the yoke of sin on me, and I'll die for it so that you can walk freely. He came to us. We don't have to work our way to him. The greater things in your life don't come from you striving harder or doing better or being a better version of yourself. They come from simply saying, I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. I take your yoke. And he says, amazingly, I don't know, he doesn't do it because of anything we've done. He says, amazingly, you can have it because I took yours already. When he died on the cross, he took our sin. He took our shame. He took it and he washed it away. The Bible says that he threw it as far as the east is from the west. God remembers it no more, and we can walk out of this place free. Free from the bondage of our sin. Are you, I hope, as I am, ready for greater things in your life? Elisha, the really neat thing about Elisha is he kind of went on to obscurity. There's a lot written about him, but he didn't do any amazing, victorious, miraculous things. He did things, yes, but it wasn't about him being the hero. This whole story is about Jesus and him being the hero of our lives. Well, tonight, as I finish up, I want to invite you to lean forward, maybe put your elbows on your knees, close your eyes. And I just want to ask you a question. I don't want to embarrass anybody because I'm going to ask you a question about your life and your heart. And if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. If that's too hard for you and you're just going to think a million thoughts, I want to invite you to open your eyes and just stare at the floor if you need to do that. And while you have your eyes closed and head bowed, I want to read you this verse. Jesus said this just before he talked about us doing greater things than him. I believe he gave us the answer and how that happens. He said this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I believe tonight there's some of you in here that want a greater life, but you know that you've tried it and you can't do it on your own. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've strived, and every time you do, it becomes a greater weight for you to carry. But I want to ask you tonight, are you ready to surrender it to Christ and say to Jesus, "Here's my life, have it"? If that's you, and you want to say, "I believe in Jesus for the first time," you want to say, "Jesus, help me understand your grace and your love for me." If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, say, "That's me. I'm here, and I need to know him." I see those hands. You can put them down. I'm going to give you maybe 10, 15 more seconds. I've seen the hands that have come up so far, but I know that not for the sake of coercion or anything at all, if you are feeling a thump in your heart and you're saying something about what he's saying that makes sense to me, it's not because of what I'm saying, it's because of what God's doing in your heart. And if that's you, put your hand. Okay, I see that hand. I see you guys. All right, you can put those hands down. And I just want to pray with you guys with your heads down and eyes closed. I'm not in the business of embarrassing you. I want to pray with you guys. And if you want to pray in your heart, in the words that you own, you can. If you need to pray words that I'm speaking, you can as well. The Bible says that for everyone who confesses and believes, they will be saved. So I want to ask you to pray along with me if you feel comfortable. You can pray this. Jesus, I trust in you tonight. I'm done striving. I'm done trying to make my life greater. I pray that you would revive my heart. That you would forgive me for my sin. And bring me home to my Heavenly Father. Jesus, I thank you for carrying my sin away. I believe in you. Amen. Amen. You can lift up your eyes and your heads and wake up if you need to. For those of you who prayed that prayer, and there's a ton of hands that went up, I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to have you jump up and down and do five jumping jacks. Not at all. But if you raise your hand, I know you, not well, but I've met you tonight, and I want you to learn to follow Jesus. That's my hope, my heartbeat, is that many would come to know him and know how to follow him. His ways are above our ways. His truths are above our truths. We have a resource that's available to you if you raise your hand tonight. It's called Learning to Follow Jesus, and I usually have like a stack of them right here, but I don't. They're in the back. If you can look back there and see where Nate is, he's got a blue shirt on. He's got a Learning to Follow Jesus book. It's a short little book that is it's got seven qualities of a Christ follower. You could do it in a week. It's way easier than pre-calc or any AP class you'll run into. Or for if you're like me, it's way easier than introduction to algebra or math B, whatever. So I want to invite you to grab one of those before you go tonight. It is just about time to quit. We love you guys. We are so glad you're here. We want to invite you back for the rest of this series. Next week, we will be right here, same time, same place. The cafe will be open downstairs. We love you guys. If you have anything, and let me just say this as I close. I know I've said it as I close like four times. But if you have anything you want to talk about, pray about, if you have questions about who God is and his word for your life, I want to invite you to hang out up here, stay. We can talk for a while. But other than that, if you need to trade in your code of conduct form, which I know a lot of you do, Tina is back at the table, and she'll trade those out for you. Also, if there's any questions about those announcements that we made earlier, please see Tina or myself as well before you leave. All right? Love you guys. You are officially dismissed. Thank you. Decided to fall.